Right now we have an advisory for Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys of Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack, as they bring us appraisers. You'll find them on the web at tqag.com, and you'll find them in the sunny state of Florida. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Not quite sure. Well, I think it is a little sunny this morning. Well, but we're at the tail end of the storm.
See, yeah. Also, when I said that, I'm never really sure where the hell you are, Tim.
That's right. I know.
I mean,
neither am I.
I keep you both on your toes. Well, I know.
I started to say that, so I said, "Oh my God, is he in California? Is he where is he this morning?
Who knows?
But home base.
Home base. Actually, we did go to visit Greg's mom Strom, for her 89th birthday, which was great. We were able to celebrate with her and sister-in-law Cindy, and with our nephew Sean and his girlfriend Melissa. So that was nice, and had a good time over the weekend. So we flew there, got there, got back before the storm. And didn't encounter any delays, so we were very lucky. And then the rain pushed through yesterday, and we are, we had thunderstorms and a lot of heavy rain that came through. But now we're supposed to be clearing up today as it moves into the Gulf Coast. So we'll see how this transpires for the rest of the week, because it's supposed to make landfall, I think, on Wednesday. So in one of the Gulf states. So off we go. And with the weather and with that big museum fire that took place in Brazil,
I want to talk to you about that. There's very few things that really shock you. Okay. You see on the internet. I mean, you see a lot of things that are so-called shocking, but when you see a museum as important as that, holding what it held in it, and seeing the site of it literally all being destroyed except for the walls,
all consuming.
It's just the one word is shocking.
Yes.
Yes, I know. Just to even see the flames, it was bad enough before I found out what I was looking at. And then when they said that this was the 200th anniversary of, I guess, this museum. And then I said, well, where is this? And then it said, well, this was a huge collection, their entire collection in Brazil. I thought,
Rio.
Oh my, they're in Rio. It was really devastating just to even think about all of those artifacts and all of that history. And it really is shocking. And it's the fact that it's not even something that belongs to us, you know, like one of our museums. It doesn't make it any less painful, because all of that world history and all of that country's history is just gone, and it's just devastating.
Well, it's hard to believe. Here's what's to me the other shocking part is, now that you look behind it, the sheer lack of responsibility of not protecting what was in that museum, and I think it speaks loudly to countries like America or any place else that has their history or a lot of their history tied up in one significant place. As a country, you should do the best you can to protect it, and they just let that building.
But there's no money.
Fall into disarray.
But the problem was
down to the funding and the money. And I will tell you this, that just also with going to Wheeling, West Virginia, and their museum, where it's difficult and they're constantly doing upgrades, our friend Kristen, who has been on this show, I know this coming, I think it's in 2019, they have a whole fire suppression campaign that they had to get donors for, to update the fire suppression for their mansion museum and for the glass museum. And it does take responsibility, it takes planning, but unfortunately there was the major cutbacks that they were experiencing in Brazil. at the Rio Museum, and that's what I think is going to come out has played a major part. And it does come down to what you said, Marshall, is that it does take responsibility.
Here's what I have to say about that. They had the money to put on the Olympics. I'm sorry. Millions of dollars were wasted on the Olympics. You don't have, let's say, $20 million out of the, I think it was like $400 million that they spent, $20 million to protect your heritage.
That's what a little corruption will do for you.
It's
really sad. And what's even more sad is that people aren't going, oh, wow, let's let these wires touch. Wow, we've got this situation all over the bleeping.
But just think about their history.
By the way, from that standpoint, I'm totally with you.
I can't get past their history.
But my point is that they are not an isolated case.
No, I know. There's a lot of lucky museums around the world and around this country
that haven't gone up in flames yet.
That's exactly right.
But they're
a cautionary tale, and I think that there's a lot that the museum directors around the world are going to be pointing at this to their fundraising people and say, look, this is what could be happening.
And
we need to start.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but also to their government. It's like, boys and girls, wake up. This isn't like that was there's some wide ranging responsibility here for this. And it would just be a shame if it were sort of pushed through the little tube of, this is just terrible and let's look over here.
I think in the mainstream it will, Jill, because people's attention spans are so small. But I think in the museum world, this is going to be a major thing. And I know that our friend Kristen, she goes to, there's a museum conference every year. And you know that this is going to be a topic on the safety and fire and all of the maintenance of the building that goes into protecting those artifacts. I think that's going to be a main thing in the conversation, because they'll be looking at that and saying we need to keep.
Well, you know, one of the other things that needs to be mentioned is this was not just their history; it was history of the Americas. You know, it was our anthropological history of
North America.
So it didn't just affect, it just did not affect that, you know, their country. It does affect the entire area, because a lot of these artifacts were collected over the years.
I think they had some Egyptian things too. I mean, it was a cross section.
There's another thing that needs to go into this, because it's not just as, you know, nobody's just one thing. Museums have all sorts of things in them, A.
Right.
But B, what's really important is that there's almost been an individual, just from regular people, like an abrogation of their responsibility to maintain. It's like, hey, I can find it online. Hey, I don't need to go. What do I care about that? That's someone else's because people have become increasingly disconnected from their heritage. We can spend a lot of time thanking whomever. But the fact is that the whole point of creating museums and creating that anchor was to give people a sense of place and where they belong in that place. You know, where it fits into the whole continuum. And it's very stabilizing. And what is tragic in all of it is that regular people don't spend enough time going, wow, this is actually important to me.
Right.
And
go and check it out and find out where. I totally agree. I understand. Yep.
And the thing with the me is it makes it really easy for corrupt or non-corrupt, if there are any, governments to then say, look, I'm sorry, it's far more important to divert these funds here.
This, right. Instead of put it here.
Right.
Yeah. And because there's no appreciation for that heritage.
And it just all becomes self-justifying, sadly, however.
Well,
I agree.
One of the other things that was so shocking about this is that once you look at the video and you think, how could this entire palace had just been so totally engulfed so quickly. And then when you read the story and you find out that the fire hydrants were dry in the area. So this is not just a lack of...
This isn't just
on the museum. It's on the municipality itself.
This didn't just happen. This is so annoying because, again, the way people's brains have been sort of honed, it's like, wow, big fire. And it's everything that went into that. That went on for years, years of neglect, the years of, let's call it nonsense, that...
Of what went on.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a question for you. Talk about heritage. I'm going to change the subject a little bit.
Okay.
Let's go to heritage. Let's go to our heritage. Let's go to baseball.
Yay.
The American pastime. If I had to ask you what you thought the record for a single signed baseball selling at auction, how much money do you think that would have brought?
$750,000.
$750,000. Jill, what do you think?
I would have thought more, but I don't.
Okay. Well, the old record was $343,650. However, there was a baseball that just sold, and it was a single signed baseball by 11 members of the Major League Baseball's original 1939 Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And that particular baseball surpassed, this is now the new world record for a single signed baseball. It sold for $623,000 at auction.
Well, Marshall,
isn't that amazing?
Marshall is much closer.
Marshall, you win the prize.
And
you
if
win
you
the
give,
prize.
Yeah.
You get the refrigerator.
The price is right. And does that include buyers?
I want what's behind door number one, the car.
Does that include the buyer's premium? I want
this. $623,000, I think it does. I think it does.
And this is something that people just need to be aware of in the whole thing. When you see these prices, you've got to...
Exactly.
There's the seller's premium. There's the buyer's premium.
There's the hammer. Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, see them, if there is tax, because it could have been a dealer, when they're spending that much money, they could have a buyer for them so that they don't have to pay sales tax so that the dealer resells it. But there's a variety. But there is actually, and the reason that we say with the buyer's premium is that there are a couple of court cases that went through the tax courts that stated that, you cannot, and here's the other side of it, you cannot just pay the hammer price and take that piece out of the auction house. You have to pay the hammer price plus the buyer's premium, and then, of course, any taxes before you can get it out of there. But taxes, they don't look at as being added to the actual price of the item when you're quoting it. When we're looking at it as both auctioneers and as appraisers, is that we have to adhere to what was the hammer price plus the buyer's premium. That's what the IRS also looks at for if you're doing estate tax or even donation, is that they will allow that because that becomes part of the piece's fair market value. So you do have to know what the buyer's premium is, because especially when you get to those higher numbers, that can add a significant amount of money to the bottom line of what the piece actually sold for. But a really interesting piece of Americana, that the interesting thing about this ball is that in 1997, it sold at Christie's for $55,000 at the time in 97. And fast forward basically 20 years later, and it sells for almost $625,000. That's a pretty good return.
Yeah,
well,
we touched
a little bit about this last week, that of all of the sports that memorabilia that comes up for auction, it is a good indicator of what the most popular sport is, and it's because it's America's pastime. It surpasses football, it surpasses hockey, it surpasses basketball on all of the memorabilia. I don't think we've ever seen anything that has sold for in any other sport that has sold for that amount of an artifact from any of the other sports have sold for that amount of money. And baseball just seems to be steadily increasing, and I don't see it stopping anytime soon. It's just become the juggernaut. It's become the, shall we say, the Michael Jackson and the Marilyn Monroe of the sports world.
Yeah. But you know what? What's interesting is that in 1997, when that ball sold for $55,000, that at that time represented the world record for a single baseball signed baseball, one baseball at auction. So to go from 97, 55,000 to the world record, and then have it broken, the world record of 343, and I'm not sure what date that was, at $343,000, but then to have this one shattered, almost doubled at $623,000. The reason a lot of this is that this was only the second time that this baseball was auctioned. It was auctioned at Christie's, and then it was auctioned just this past August, and sells for an amazing amount of money. But also the provenance and the history of it, you know, the signatures were all authenticated. It was part of the induction ceremony. There was the provenance and background of how it was obtained. So it was one of those just impeccable lines. All the stars lined up, and you know, it was just that perfect storm that everyone, yes, I want this. And there was no question about what this was. So
I think it's highly possible that in the future, this particular artifact might be one of the artifacts that could reach that million dollar mark. There are a handful that could possibly do that. But I think this, because of the provenance and because of what it represented, I think could be one of the first pieces of baseball memorabilia of this ilk.
As a signed baseball,
that could reach $1 million. When that will be, it's anybody's guess, but based on the history, it has the potential.
Totally something to look forward to. Regret, as a friend of mine used to say, we are timeless. We are out of time. So
there we go.
Good luck in the rain.
Wrap it up, baby.
Hey, you guys have a great week.
You too.
Have a good week.
Happy birthday to your mom, Greg.
Oh, yay. Thank you. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye. Right.
That is Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You'll find them on the web at tqag.com.